All our little speakers turned on green. Cool. Good evening, everyone, and welcome to the ordinary council meeting of October. A big welcome to senior staff, David on his return after a couple of weeks off, and members of the public gallery. So thank you very much for your attendance. I'd like to begin by acknowledging the Palawa Pakana, Tasmanian Aboriginal community, as the traditional and original owners of the skies, land and water of Lutruwita, and forward our respects to their elders both past and present. Bryanton Council acknowledges the continued connection the Tasmanian Aboriginal people still have to the skies, land and water of Lutruwita that provides them with the food, medicine and craft celebrated through ceremony today. Attendance... Councillor De La Torre is on his way, and Councillor Curran is away for this meeting. That'll be covered in item three, and all other councillors are present. Item three is applications for leave of absence. Councillor Curran has requested leave of absence for this meeting. Moved by Councillor Owen, second by Councillor Geard. Is there any debate? If not, I'll put the motion. All those in favour, please say aye.
Aye.
Against? Carried. Thank you. Item 4 is confirmation of minutes, and item 4.1 is confirmation of minutes of the ordinary council meeting held on the 19th of September 2023, and they are in our agenda and submitted for confirmation. Is there any discussion, debate, any issues with those particular minutes? If not, can I ask that someone move those minutes be received? Yep. Moved by Councillor McMaster, second by Councillor Irons. I'll put that motion. All those in favour, please say aye.
Aye.
Against? Carried. Thank you. Item 4.2 was the Planning Authority meeting, which was held on the 3rd of October, and is included on page 21 to 70 of our agenda. Or the attachments to our agenda. Once again, I'll just ask, is there any concern, any issues, debate, any amendments that are required? If not, can I get someone to move those minutes be received? Moved by Councillor Irons, seconded by Councillor Whelan. Is there any debate? If not, I'll put the motion. All those in favour, please say aye.
Aye.
Against? Carried. Thank you. Item 4.3 is committees of council. We'll just note there were no committee meetings held during the month of October. Item 5 is a declaration of interest. Is anyone like to declare an interest in anything on the agenda this evening? Councillor Irons.
4.1 for me. Thank you, Mr. Mayor.
Thank you. I too am declaring an interest in 12.1. I'm just making a head count. Four. Yep, that's sufficient. So I have item 12.1. One of the owners or applicants only, for the...
Unless Aaron gets here, we've only got three at the moment.
You should be right with Aaron.
Yeah.
Cool. Thank you. I'll just declare that an owner or applicant for the item is on a selection panel for a board, which I've applied to be a member of. So I don't deem it appropriate that I be in the room for that particular item. Any other declarations? Thank you. We'll note that those two people, Greg and myself, will leave the room. I'll just note that I'll ask for Councillor Owen to take over chairmanship at that point, particularly in light that he is the Deputy Chair of the Planning Authority. So, Phil, you're okay with that?
Yes, thanks, Mayor.
Thank you. Item 6 is public question time and deputations. Are there any deputations? Thank you. There are no deputations. Item 7 is a report from Council, and item 7.1 is the Mayor's communications for the previous month. There is just one slight amendment on the 5th of October. I'll just add that Councillor Irons was also in attendance. That was... sort of arranged or encouraged to have that meeting by Councillor Irons, and he got out of doing a tour of Bonnerong and was able to jump into that meeting online as well. It was just done over Teams. Just the 25th of the 9th, the South Central Sub-Region meeting. There were only a couple of items that were actually discussed at that particular meeting, but one in particular was the government has entered into regional partnerships with two areas of Tasmania. One's the West Coast and the other is Glamorgan Spring Bay and Breaker Day. So we certainly pushed reasonably hard that the sub-region that we're part of, being Central Highlands, Southern Midlands, Durham Valley and ourselves, look at entering into a partnership with government as well. So what we've done, though, is written off to the government and asked for more information about what is on offer and hoping that they'll come back at some point in the near future with their ideas of how those partnerships work, and then hopefully the sub-region will apply for that. Deputy Mayor Curran and Councillor Owen and myself attended a tour of the Tasmanian Botanicals up at Pondville, which was very eye-opening. So it's a magnificent facility. Obviously the expansion hasn't started operation as yet, but by golly gosh, it's quite extensive and doing a great job. Meeting with Minister Barnett on the 25th of September and then again on the 12th of October. I'd like to put some praise out there to all those politicians that have kept it above politics and made some really good contributions towards it. And I'll mention them, Minister Barnett, obviously, Brian Mitchell, Jen Butler, all have been involved in these particular meetings and have kept it well above politics. The outcome that I hope we will get is that a new provider will be put into the GP clinic in due course, and hopefully that's prior to the 8th or on the 8th of December when their previous owners leave. And also a little bit of praise for IPN, that they are assisting in providing information that is beneficial to some providers that hopefully will see them take over that particular practice. But I've got to try and remember the words, and Janine might help me here. We are hopeful and optimistic. Positive and what was it? Positive and hopeful and positive. That if that's a little bit of political speak, but they're the words we've been told to use when discussing this particular item. I think that's probably it, unless there's anything else that anyone would like me to speak about. And I've done a good job, Aaron, delaying. My correspondence is there. If there's no further questions, someone prepared to move. Moved by Councillor Whelan, second by Councillor Murtagh. I'll put that motion. All those in favour, please say aye.
Aye.
Against? Aye. Carried. Thank you. Item 7.2 is report from council representatives. Is there anyone else need to put a report? Councillor Geard.
Yes, Mr. Mayor, since I've been back, I actually attended the State Fire Commission meeting on the first day. Next day I came back with one eye open, so that was a few things going on. There's quite a few things going on that field outside of the government involvement in the Fire and Emergency Service Act. There was, just with the fire service alone, they're looking at getting consultants in to look at done a study on the long-term aspect of the age of profile. And we sort of haven't had the people coming through as trainees. We haven't had enough of them, so it's really not looking too good for the next couple of years for the upper echelon to fill, because the most of them down the bottom haven't got the experience. So we're just hoping, keeping our fingers crossed, that a lot of them don't retire too early. So that's a bit of a problem with it, but that's probably across most industries anyway. The other one, I attended with the staff. We had a subcommittee meeting with the Emergency Service group here, so we had a meeting there, so that went well. Mm-hmm. I think it went really well. So then they decided to send me off to with the mayors, and Ron Sanderson was there as well, up at Doomer Valley. So we had Doomer Valley, Central Highlands, Southern Midlands, and myself representing Brighton up there to discuss ongoing emergency aspects that affects us in quite a few magnitude of things, but mainly in the field of recovery and preparedness. So that was quite a good meeting. I'll still report back to my other people here to make sure I'm doing the right thing. So, there was quite a few things come out of that. Like, for instance, Glenorchy hasn't got the area like they used to have. They don't have the deck anymore if anything goes wrong, so they're coming out here. We don't have the area either because we're going to have the police in part of it, so we've had to sort of going to juggle things around. So, and some of the other areas, they're losing their recovery centres and the safer places. They're reviewing all the safer places because some of them are not up to standard. The fire service reviewing those. So there was quite a few things come out of it. And so they're going to be leaning on us, hopefully not too much, Janine and everyone else, if thing goes wrong. So, and then after that, I thought, everything's emergency service as I come back. So then I was asked to go on teams to Canberra and with all the other SES associations and their representatives around Australia to give a report on the amalgamation between SES and the Fire Service and the new Fire Service Act. So with myself and the president of that association here, we both joined up and went on teams. So reported back that everything's sort of going reasonably well. We're just not quite sure which way the government's going with the rating and everything else, but as far as we're concerned, with the two organisations joined together, it's, as long as we've got the money to keep going, it should be okay. So that was something that came out pretty well, but I was surprised that some of the other areas as well, like West Australia and that, are in some in a similar boat now. So I thought, it was not only us in the same problem as that sort of thing. So that's what I've been doing in the last sets of being back. So
cool. Thanks, Councillor questions. Any other reports? Councillor Irons?
Just two very quick ones for me. Just both with the Smith family. So one was on the 21st of September at Gagebrook Primary and the other on the 28th of September at Brighton Primary. Lots of different topics, from leadership to using science for conservation to all sorts of different things, and a bit of stuff around the, particularly around the council, the differences between the positions, which was really interesting. But I think the main thing I just want to do is, having the Smith family in our community is an incredible advantage. The work that they do, if there's a chance to give them a pat on the back and thank them, it's just, so the way that they interact with the kids and is just phenomenal to see. And the other thing I wanted to mention was just the teachers and just how impressed I was with them along the way, and doing some pretty challenging topics and keeping the kids on task and using different methods with different kids. You know, the teachers are heroes. They really are down there. We know how hard it is to keep good teachers a lot of the time, and it was just magnificent to be a part of. But, yeah, particularly the Smith family, I think any opportunity to give them a thanks for being in our community would be worthwhile. Mm.
Thanks, Councillor Irons. Is there anything further? Excellent. Can I get someone to move those two reports be received? Moved by Councillor Della Torre, second by Councillor McMaster. And I'll put that motion. All those in favour, please say aye.
Aye.
Against? Carried. Thank you. Item 8 is miscellaneous correspondence. Noted in this is the response from the Minister for Planning in regards to the rejection of the major project proposal for Kangaroo Point Hotel or Kangaroo Bay Hotel. And the second one is a Minister for Education obviously wrote to us about the new Southern Youth Detention Centre will be located over our boundary in the Southern Midlands at 466 Brighton Road in Pontville. Minister Ellis did give me a call as well, and he also spoke to the General Manager just to say that there will be full and open consultation as we approach as they move forward, and he's going to come out and meet with us before too much longer. So hopefully we'll be able to keep everyone abreast of what's happening. Moving on, item 9 is notification of council workshops, and there was one workshop. Attendees are listed there, and that was on the 3rd of October in regards to the Derwent River Foreshore Coastal Hazards and Risk Assessment Report. And there is a recommendation that information be received. Can I get someone to move? Moved by Councillor Ryan, seconded by Councillor McMaster. I'll put that motion. All those in favour, please say aye.
Aye.
Against? Carried. Thank you. Item 10 is notice of motion, and item 10.1 is a notice of motion from Councillor Irons. Just what I normally do, Greg, is just get you to read the motion. Once you've read it, I'll ask for a seconder, and then you can launch into your information.
Beautiful. So my motion is that the council consider what potential steps it can take, including and in addition to flying relevant flags on relevant dates, to demonstrate its commitment to inclusion and equality and its support of the LGBTIQA+ community.
Thank you. That is moved by Councillor Irons. Is there a seconder? Seconded by Councillor Della Torre. Councillor Irons, you have the floor.
Thank you. Look, I think most of it's obviously written there. Look, you're probably gathering I do a lot with schools. Is that an area particularly of interest for me, both within council and in my workplace as well? I think it's an amazing opportunity to connect and change the whole world by connecting with kids. And I think it's really interesting when you go to a lot of different areas, you see a lot of different things and different ways that people interact with each other. And certainly some of the interactions that we've seen in our local community at time probably suggest a bit of work on inclusivity is needed, I think. Certainly language and things that's used amongst the kids at times, and just very casually, like it's just part of everyday speak, probably suggests that there needs to be a little bit more done there. And, you know, having been in situations where we're not only employed but had very good friends who have suffered from not being included and what they've gone through as part of that, you know, I just think, and particularly after our meeting with Rodney as well, to hear a bit more about what might be able to be done, it probably got me thinking that even, you know, outside of here, I'm probably not thinking as much as I could do within our workplaces and everything else. So just, yeah, was hoping the council could explore what we might be able to do to promote inclusivity a little bit more in our community, and hopefully prevent people having to go through psychological damage if we don't get it right.
Yeah, trauma.
Thanks, Councillor Irons. Councillor Della Torre.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I'd just like to thank Councillor Irons for his contribution and for putting this motion before us. The community does have an issue with the LGBTIQA+ inclusion, and I would support any measures that we could make towards improving that. I do thank the General Manager for his comments in response to Councillor Irons' motion, and agree there is work to be done in that space, and I think a motion of this type can lead us in that right direction. So thank you.
Thanks. I'd just like to ask the General Manager for some clarification. We're obviously working on a flag policy. Will that be discussed at the proposed workshop, or will it be sort of separate?
Yeah, so for everyone's information, I was approached recently, and separately so was the Mayor, about whether or not we would fly particular flags at particular times. So we had started preparing a flag policy for consideration of council, but in light of this, we thought, actually, let's look at the whole issue rather than just throw one proposal before you.
Yeah.
And we also feel at a staff level that it's a really important thing to workshop, so councillors have a chance to really discuss it. Other than the flag policy, we haven't done a lot of work on it, other than effectively what you can see there, a quick scan of what other councils have done and are doing, and some of the comments from the meeting that Greg arranged with Rodney Croom. So yeah, my advice would be that give us a month or so to pull together some potential actions, and then we get together as a council and workshop them, and then we get some direction of which actions, if any, you'd like us to progress further and bring back before council.
Councillor,
comment, Mayor. It was only a month ago that we discussed this informally after a council meeting. And I already thought that the thing was in motion, and the response from the General Manager would indicate that, so I really think that the motion is not necessary.
Yeah, look, the flag policy was in motion, but that was all.
You said have begun a range of possibility actions for council to demonstrate.
Yeah, begun last week, though, after the meeting with Rodney Croom. So
it's in process.
Well, that's up to you guys, the process we follow. But, I mean, it's... For us, this is an issue, you know, only certain elements of it are operational or could be operational, depending what actions we do. So it needs direction from council. In my view, it needs a workshop for some discussion and some direction, and then we bring back before you what emerges out of that.
If I may, Mr. Mayor, the motion doesn't call for anything other than for us to consider what potential steps we can take. So it mentions the flag, but it does only ask for us to consider what potential steps we can take, and I think a workshop of that nature would be a great idea.
Yep.
So the motion would be that we have a workshop.
Yep.
Well, the motion that has been moved is that council consider what potential steps it can take. Councillor Irons, if you wish to add the words and conduct a workshop in regards to or in addition to, words of that effect.
I'm very happy to add those words. Would still like to keep the original motion as well, but I think it's...
Yep. The flagpole's the only one there's a problem with that, with the things going on, so that's, you know, I agree with that. We should have a policy for that.
So with your... Israel flag too. If I can suggest that, obviously the motion sits as written, and that we just add the words that council initiate a workshop for this to be discussed further and direction be given to staff to implement actions.
Yeah.
And Councillor Irons, are you happy with that amendment?
We'll just leave that last bit off, if that's all right. Just the technicality of directing staff. but I think that's sufficient. Yeah. I think that captures exactly what Councillor Irons is asking for and Councillor Owen. So I think we're pretty clear what we need to go and do. We need to provide some information, and once we've got it, schedule a workshop.
So, Councillor Owen, you're happy with that amended motion? Councillor Della Torre?
No issues, thanks.
Thank you. Councillors, is there anything further? Anyone wish to speak for or against? If not, I'll put the motion. All those in favour, please say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Against? Thank you. Carried. Item 11 is consideration of supplementary items to the agenda. There are no supplementary items to be considered. Item 12 is council acting as a planning authority. And at this point in time, I'll hand over to Councillor Owen and leave the room.
Did you want to do the admin stuff first?
I'm going to leave that to you.
All right.
He's the goal kicker. He's over the rover.
From here, is all right with everybody?
Yes.
Yep.
Right, okay then. Go on to item 12, council acting as planning authority under the provisions of the Land Use Planning and Approvals Act 1993 and in accordance with Regulation 25 of the Local Government Meetings Procedure Regulations 2015. The council will act as a planning authority in respect to these matters appearing under item 12 on this agenda, inclusive of any supplementary items. Agenda item 12.1, noting that the Mayor has indicated an interest and has left the room, as has Councillor Irons. In attendance, we have Councillor Murtagh and Councillor Della Torre, Councillor Murtagh and Councillor Master in attendance, and there is a quorum of planning authority members in the fact that Councillor Geard, Councillor Whelan, Councillor Della Torre and myself are present. Right, 12.1 on your agenda. It's a planning scheme amendment to rezone lots 203, 205, Old Beach Road. The officer's report is covered in our agenda on pages 10 to 35, recommendations on 36. There are two rather extensive attachments associated with this item. Attachment one being an 89-page subdivision assessment and report by Jones... Johnson, McGee and Gandy. And attachment two, 141-page document, including natural natural value assessments, food, a flood hazard report, Aboriginal heritage report, and traffic impact report. Now, I'd like to, I was going to hand over to Joe Blackwell, the author, but as Joe's not here, I would ask David to just go through the thing. Now, because of the size of it and with all that information, it probably may have been better workshop. So I'll be a little bit lenient with the discussion on this. So, David, over to you, and then over to Councillor.
Thank you, Councillor. I want to probably just flag that sometimes the statutory time frames for these things make it very difficult to workshop them. But I'll keep it pretty simple if I can. So the application is across two lots to rezone, they're both currently zoned future urban, and to rezone portion of them to general residential, low density residential, environmental management and open space. You'll recall that, I think it was earlier this calendar year, that we approved a four lot subdivision for this site. So basically the two new lots to the south will be zoned general residential. And then the other three zones will be contained in the lots to the north. Natural values report was done just on the bit of land that relates to the general residential component, and there was found to be no natural values on that. So part of the proposal is to remove the natural values overlay from the general residential portion of the land. There was a fairly extensive flooding report done for this site. So basically, in regards to the zoning, the general residential zone portion of this land does not flood at all. The low density residential part of this land floods a little bit, but not to the point where it's particularly hazardous. The environmental management zone part of this is the bits that flood to depths that you just simply can't build or in. And the open space portion is the bits that council actually have flagged previously that we would like to for our trail network around the existing creek along. In addition to that, there's Aboriginal heritage report done that came that showed no Aboriginal heritage in the area, and also a traffic report's been done. The traffic report is a little bit deficient in that it doesn't consider Old Beach Road and the new intersection that will go into Riviera Drive and Old Beach Road. But in saying that, it does look at the traffic impact, and ultimately there is going to have to be upgrades done somewhere along East Derwent Highway. Now, the options for, reducing the impact on the East Derwent Highway are basically to open up that intersection to Old Beach Road, but then that will obviously have implications for the Old Beach Road and East Derwent Highway intersection, or alternatively a conversion of the East Derwent Highway Riviera Drive intersection into a roundabout. So these are both options that will be considered further as part of any future development application, but at the end of the day, they can both be done. If this is approved and we receive the subdivision application, we'll have to consider financial contributions towards either of those. So, in summary, the recommendation is to initiate and advertise the planning scheme amendment. Any questions?
Questions of David? Anybody?
Mr. Chairman, is this fairly informal?
I've indicated that it'll be fairly informal. Try and keep it as formal as possible. But yeah, there needs to be some latitude. Because the magnitude of the item that's before us, I think there needs to be some magnitude.
It is certainly difficult to absorb that information within 3 days.
Yeah.
And certainly we're workshopping other items, especially one tonight. Yeah, can't see why we shouldn't be workshopping this one. Couple of questions. One, Callum first. There's a significant area of low density zoning. We don't have a low density infrastructure policy. Like I've seen like some low density developments with open drains, rural access ways.
Mm-hmm.
You don't even have to sewer some properties in the low density zone under the scheme. So we have a line between general residential and low density with some potentially very significant sort of changes in engineering.
Mm-hmm.
And some of the border of those two properties in some areas isn't flooded or anything like that. So we're going to have a very distinct change in potentially in what's the final outcome, of which us as councillors could be rezoning the property and not having any input into that final outcome. So I sort of have difficulty in moving that forward. But yeah, are we looking to have a policy given that it's such a large area of land that will be low density?
Yeah, look, I mean, I suppose a policy for that sort of thing is something that we could consider in the future. It's probably not going to be developed in time to be considered with this decision, though. As far as the infrastructure in the different zones is concerned, that's kind of dealt with based upon them meeting the requirements of the scheme. And so unless we do develop a policy, that's what it's assessed against.
Yeah. Tivoli sort of started with a specific sort of design in mind and
yep.
quickly went away from that because it was found to be sort of wanting in a lot
yes.
of areas.
Yep.
I'm concerned that we still haven't sort of pinpointed those issues and have a policy to sort of make sure it doesn't happen again.
Yeah, sure thing. The initial Tivoli development was both those, I think the kind of design elements that you're referring to were based around like urban water usage and
yeah.
kind of the more conservative approach to that. That still needs to be addressed within the scheme, but it doesn't necessarily apply to, the flooding aspects and elements that they'll need to address with this. So,
yeah. David, jumping to you, what would be the maximum lot size for the general res zone?
The maximum?
Yeah.
There is no maximum lot size currently under the
yeah.
statewide planning scheme.
Yeah. But low density's got 1,500, potentially 1,200.
Yep.
Yeah. What would be the issue with looking at that low density a little bit sort of closer and that being considered general res if it was suitable, given that there's very... potentially not much difference between the two zonings if it's only the size of a lot, so we're considering.
Yeah, so basically my understanding from the applicant is that they've used the low-density residential zone through there because there is flooding issues.
Yeah.
And the low-density residential under the guidelines for applying zones, you use the low-density residential zone when you have environmental constraints across the site. So that's why they've chosen to use low density residential, particularly
okay.
on that
side.
Yeah,
that sort of goes to my next question, talking about the requirements of the rezoning. Point three of those requirements is that it shouldn't be used for protecting important natural landscape values. So it's not being used for that reason. It's more, do you think that the flooding and other aspects fall under point four, which is environmental considerations?
So yeah, that's what they're putting it forward under, yeah, and that's what we agree with, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
You're right there.
So, yeah, I'll probably come back if that's all right.
Any...
Aaron?
Yeah.
Councillor Bertolucci.
Thank you.
Acting Chair, that it was really good. I thought, geez, this is sick, and I started reading. I nearly got lost half some of the ways, and there was photos there and bits and pieces. But actually, some of the photos actually told the story, so I thought that was good. And one thing about it, the flora and the First Nation, at least that was taken off the list. So I thought, good job. At least I think them two I didn't have to worry about. But the flooding aspect, yeah, that was very good. Well done. I think that was well, because that's one of my pet things. I don't care. Even in a small flooded area, I'm still very adamant that we've got to make sure that in the future, with climate change the way one of our dry years at the moment, and another 10 years could be wet, that we cover that aspect. We allow for that in the future. We might have the mapping today, but tomorrow that mapping will be out of date. So that's one thing I'm pretty adamant that if we do build in there, we do build above and beyond what we require. So otherwise it's going to come back and bite the people in the future. I probably won't be around, but it'll bite somebody. Yeah, but otherwise, it was well done. So,
just remind everybody too that this will be placed on public exhibition. Yeah, so there's sort of there's the opportunity to crack some of these nuts on the way through. Sorry, Aaron.
You're right, Mr. Chairman. My concern relates to the traffic generation. Do we have any figures on vehicle movements out of Old Beach and how many end up off the East Derwent Highway at those intersections between the Midlands Highway and the Bowen Bridge? Just wondering what sort of percentage of those 750-odd vehicle movements the traffic report mentions we can expect to end up on those pretty congested intersections at the moment.
I see you're referring to traffic heading towards Hobart.
Either side of the day, I guess. The big problem at the moment is on the Bowen Bridge when people are coming home of an afternoon. They're backed up about halfway across the Bowen Bridge of many afternoons.
So I can probably speak to the intersection upgrades just at the Bowen. So just sitting outside of this, council have been in discussion with DSG around upgrades to the intersection coming off the Bowen Bridge and turning onto the East Derwent Highway. I don't think I'm stepping out of line too much saying that it's reasonably well recognised that that intersection is deficient and that that's a priority within the department to be addressed.
Great. We've got any timelines on when that's likely to occur?
No firm timelines, but I do know that it's fairly high up the list that they're looking at currently.
Yeah. I think once they get the Bridgewater Bridge out of the road, they might have the resources to be able to.
I think so.
I guess a timeline for when these lots could be subdivided and built on and people moving in, I guess, the interaction between those.
It is, but it will also trigger additional traffic assessments when these developments are coming through. And so,
okay.
If I can, I might just add that we'll refer this to the Department of State Growth too if it's initiated, so they'll provide comment around the traffic and the impact it has on those intersections.
Great.
So, Councillor Geard, you're right.
Yes, thank you.
Councillor Delatorre,
very good, thanks.
Councillor Whelan, is there anything else that you wish, any questions?
What works will be undertaken on Old Beach Road in the near future?
So, there's the intersection that's been connected through to Tivoli.
Yeah,
Outside of that. Old Beach Road will be probably renewed, but not with a view to actually upgrade the carriageway.
Okay. And this end, so heading north from the new intersection, it's quite narrow. And I think we approved a recent subdivision, which is part of these lots. Was there road widening included in that? I might have to take this on notice, but for that subdivision, because I'm concerned that we've sort of missed the boat there and that road is going to remain fairly narrow, or is that something that's taken by the surveyor automatically and included in a final plan?
So just clarifying which section of road you're referring to, sir?
In front of 203 and 205.
This side?
On Old Beach Road?
Yeah.
So this is to do with the intersection upgrade, or...?
No, just in front of their frontages.
Just in front of their frontages.
Yeah, because that road's quite
narrow. I'd need to take it on notice, but I don't believe there is any widening associated with that.
Yeah, I'm concerned that's going to be an urban road from now on, and effectively it's quite a narrow rural road, with no potential to to widen that without council?
Yeah. If the traffic assessment requires that it needs to be widened, there's scope for it.
Yeah. Maybe we can have a look at the permit that was issued, David, and see whether... That used to be something that was standard condition. Council just sort of caught anything.
Yeah.
Just the permit condition you're referring to, the permit you're referring to is the Tivoli Green one, is that right?
Boundary adjustment, we just sort of...
Oh, okay, yeah, sorry, I'm with you now.
Previous subdivision.
Yeah.
Mainly it's taken on notice.
Yeah.
That one.
A little bit concerned that we missed the boat there.
Yeah, well, just in regards to missing the boat, I guess when they submit a subdivision application on this land, if it's initiated,
we can
look at road widening and upgrades to Old Beach Road as per any...
We'll push
the traffic impact assessment harder on a subdivision application for them to fully address the impact on these roads. So I think, there's another bite of the cherry.
Yeah. I understand.
He actually made that point very early in the piece I heard, that there's that opportunity when that thing comes into not only this end of the do, but the other end of the business too.
Yep.
The Estevan Highway.
I'm not sure what plans the owners have, but it'd be good if we can do that up front.
Right, councillors, thanks for that. Now, we have a recommendation on page 36. Is there a mover and a seconder, please?
I'm happy to move that.
I'm checking it.
That was moved by Councillor Dellatore, seconded by Councillor Keard.
Do you want to second it? No.
Put the motion. Those in favour?
Aye.
Against? Carried unanimously. The other guys at the back. Thank you for your forbearance.
God, I don't see too many.
It's always difficult when it's a difficult one.
That was heavy.
Got some juice, Phil.
Thanks, Councillor Owen. Just catching up, give me a second. Thank you. Moving on, item 13 is officers' reports, and item 13.1 is the Derwent River Foreshore Coastal Hazards Project Report. Hand over to you, I believe, David. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Coastal Hazards Report, I understand that Alison gave you a... took you through a workshop on this. I don't have a lot to add to it. I'm happy to take questions. Just wanted to note that Alison is no longer with us, but acknowledge all the great work that she did for us in the climate resilience space, and this is one of the things that she got a grant for. But the recommendation is that council endorses the report and moves to community engagement.
Councillor Owen.
There's one concern that I have, and I guess I'll make it a question. The Tas Water Infrastructure, as far as sewerage is concerned, there's no mention, even though the report mentions infrastructure and stuff, there's no report or mention of that. My concern is when you've got 2,000 houses wanting to go to the toilet and the system's flooded or not working...
Backs up.
You won't back up, it'll go into the river. And that's an issue, and it's not been addressed anywhere. It's not even been flagged, and I think it's something that really should have been flagged. So a comment, I suppose, but I'll ask the question, should it be flagged or shouldn't it be flagged?
I guess there's pump stations and things like that along the foreshore there, so I think we can get SGS to have a look at it before circulating it for community engagement.
Question to follow on from Councillor Owen. Was the reason it wasn't flagged because it's not a council asset?
No, I don't think so. I think we were looking at all assets along there. So we are looking at things like the highway, which is a state growth asset.
Yep.
So it is trying to look at everything along
No, noted. Thank you.
Can I just seek some clarification as to what the next stage of community engagement on this would be? Is it public exhibition and seeking comment?
It'll be a community workshop. So we were hoping to hold it at Cloak Oval in the community centre there. If we can't get that, we'll have it here.
Yep.
But we'll circulate it to send letters out to quite a large amount of the community and hopefully get a few people along.
Thank you. Any further questions? If not, we have a recommendation on page 40 that we endorse the Coastal Hazards and Risk Assessment Report and enter into the next phase of community engagement. Someone prepared to move?
So moved.
Moved by Councillor De La Torre, second by Councillor Gidd. Is there any comments or debate?
Nothing further from me, Mr. Mayor, other than the fact I'm always willing to put things out to community consultation. So
beautiful.
I can move the motion on that basis.
Excellent. Thank you. Nothing further? I'll put the motion. All those in favour, please say aye.
Aye.
Against? Carried. Thank you. Item 13.2 is the Brighton Hub Truck Stop Upgrades Town Square Concept Plan. Over to you again, David, or Callum.
So this is one that's obviously gone out to consultation, which is great, and only got four representations on this, all from state agencies who are actually very positive about it, which is really exciting. And there's just one minor change that's been made, so now it's to endorse it and we'll get a grant for it.
we hope. Councillors, over to you for any questions or any concerns.
Nothing in this motion, David, about us getting a grant for that.
If I might just add, I noticed on the concept plan there is toilets mentioned.
There is.
Is absolutely fantastic. The amount of comments I've had in regards to the truck stops that are on the Midlands Highway without any toilet facilities. They've got a table and chairs and nothing else and a parking bay for the trucks, but no toilet facilities. So the comments from transport companies and truck operators in particular have been pretty scathing in regards to those particular ones. So it's nice to see that we've included toilets in ours.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I'm sure they'll be well utilised and looked after and kept clean.
Yep.
On that point, Mr.
Councillor Owen.
If I may say that a toilet is a truckie's workplace. And the industry should be providing some funds for that.
Yes.
Not left to councils to worry about.
Those ones in particular that I was commenting on are obviously on the Midlands Highway, which is obviously on a federal number one highway, which is 80% funded by the federal government and 20% by the state.
And they get fuel resource off the truckies anyway, so
heavy vehicle tax as well.
Right.
So, who's paying for it at the end? Are the ratepayers expected to pay for this, or is it the industry?
I think, as Councillor De La Torre touched on, we'll be looking. If I may speak, Aaron, and touch on your comment that we'll be looking forward to a beautiful grant. So hopefully the ratepayers probably won't pay too much of a contribution other than adding a beautiful spot in our industrial state to further enhance that. We have a motion there. Is someone prepared to move? Moved by Councillor Whelan, second by Councillor McMaster. And I'll put the motion. All those in favour, please say aye.
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 Against? Carried. Thank you. Item 13.3 is the Finance Monthly Report. Monthly report, but it's for the September quarter. And I'll hand over to Gillian.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Apologies, I've got errors in this. I'm saying it's a monthly report when it was quarterly. I came in off my holidays to bang this out so you are all aware of how we've gone for the quarter. So I do apologise for that. It is for the ending of our September quarter, so it's pretty self-explanatory, but our operating revenue is overall by $250,000 to our budget. The FAIR grant was all received last financial year, so that's overstated our income for last financial year. We still are entitled to about $40,000 this year, which will be paid in $10,000 instalments. We have, since I've returned to work and doing my bank rec, we have got another $152,000 from Tazwater dividends as well, so we've got a little bit there. Our operating expenditure is less than the budgeted estimates, just because when I put the budget in, I just divide it by 12. So, but it is employment benefits. Some people have left in this first quarter, so we've had to pay out entitlements there. The capital works, I have made an error there in the year-to-date capital works expenditure. Should be 757310, as depicted in the report. I've put 5470, so that's made up by 5.4 in the physical services expenditure. Oh, sorry, 2 million in the physical services expenditure and 5.4 in the other capital expenditure. We've got our 1.6 medical centre grant, which will need to be journaled forward because that was in our current liabilities from last financial year. Our percentage of rates owing is 54.86% outstanding compared with the 55.26% from last financial year. So we're just behind, in front slightly. And I'm just asking Council to receive the report. Any questions?
Thanks, Gillian. If I can add, this is great. Thank you. It gives us explanations about those figures that we're presented with. It's easy to read. It's fantastic. So yeah. I won't say I enjoy reading it, but it was clear and concise and answered all the questions or queries that we would possibly normally have. So thank you very much for that. Yeah. But councillors, open to you, Councillor Owen.
I enjoy reading if it's looking really good, so that's one thing about it. So.
Councillor Owen.
Oh, it's all right. I can see the trend. Greg's trend line here on the rates owing. It's very hard to see that blue line under that other one, but it's good to see that hasn't gone the other way.
I had to go up to about 125% before I could actually get a vision, a sight on it. So,
no, it's there and it's under last year's.
Yeah, that's good.
Trend.
Yeah. Councillors, any questions of Gillian? If not, we have a recommendation that the September 2023 quarterly report be received. Yep. Moved by Councillor De La Torre and seconded by Councillor Owen. If there's no debate, I'll put the motion. All those in favour, please say aye.
Aye.
Against? Carried. And item 14 is questions on notice. There aren't any. And that concludes our council meeting for the month of October. Thank you very much for your attendance.